Here in the Tennessee Valley, rare minnows are in trouble. How does that affect our ecosystem, and what can be done? Back in the fall, I spoke with Bernie Cujeda, an aquatic conservation biologist at the Tennessee Aquarium's Conservation Institute here in Chattanooga. Bernie, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Tell us more about rare minnow species in our area.
We have three threatened and endangered species of minnows. We've got the extremely endangered Laurel Dace, which is found up on Walden Ridge between Dayton and Spring City. We've got the federally endangered Cahaba Shiner that's found in central Alabama that I've done some work on over the last 3 years. And then we have the federally threatened Blue Shiner, which is in Tennessee, just barely gets in the Conasauga River in southeastern Tennessee, and then that river flows through Georgia and eventually into Alabama. And I've studied that fish, and we're going to dive into it a little deeper here in the next couple of years.
All of these species face a common series of threats. Tell us more about those threats.
So the greatest threat to aquatic ecosystems throughout the world, as well as right here in our backyard, is number one, habitat fragmentation. All of the dams that have been built with the reservoirs behind them, all of the channelized streams, and you don't even think about it, but those culverts underneath your driveways and roads, those are barriers to fish movement. Historically, these fish had movement in between populations, gene flow, and they maintained healthy genetics. Now that gene flow is cut off and they become isolated, as their genetics become unhealthy, they tend to become unhealthy. Number two is non-point source pollution. You can't point to it and say, that's the problem. Clean Water Act pretty much fixed point source pollution, nasty stuff coming out of a pipe through industry. Now it's non-point source pollution. The biggest problem is sedimentation, dirt coming from poor agricultural practices, poor construction sites that don't have the silt fences. And then we've got a lot of other pollutants like the transmission fluid and oil that are on parking lots. And when it rains, all of that goes directly in. And we're finding an emerging problem. Plastics turn into microplastics, and they're in fresh water. And what do those mean? And then the third problem is climate change. We are really getting really high flow water events, which can damage the habitat fish live in. And then we're getting extreme droughts, which really affect these headwater species, especially the Laurel Dace. And then lastly, invasive species, species that don't belong where they are now found. They've been moved around by humans, and that really negatively affects the Laurel Dace and a little bit the Blue Shiner.
And how severe are these threats in just so short a span of time?
We are in sixth mass extinction crisis worldwide. We are losing species at a greater rate than we have in human history. Aquatic ecosystems, freshwater aquatic ecosystems, are 3 to 5 times more in peril than marine and terrestrial systems because all humans need fresh water to survive. So it's a resource that's used and unfortunately sometimes abused. There's just a great amount of diversity, some of it really localized in fresh water. But trying to protect these little critters also gives us clean drinking water, clean water to swim in and fish in, and clean fish to eat when we catch a bass or a brim out of the Tennessee River. So it's not only important to save these little guys, but it also helps us.
Tell us more about the work that you're involved in to save and preserve these species.
So it all begins with just basic surveys. You go out, you survey sites where they have been found, and you survey sites where maybe you could find them, they haven't been found before. And that gets you information on where they are. And then some of them, like the Laurel Dace, we've been doing that since 2015 every year, so we can see trends. And the trends aren't good for the Laurel Dace. When I started here at the aquarium in 2012, Laurel Dace were in 5 streams. They're now down to 2 streams. The other thing is genetics. You need to run population genetics on the species to know what conservation packets you have in order to be able to manage them. Are the Laurel Dace way up by Spring City the same Laurel Dace genetically in the southern population closer to Dayton? And the answer is they're not. The third thing we've been working on is reproduction. Can we bring them into the Conservation Institute and actually get them to spawn for potential stocking? And we did that with laurel dace, and we can. So that's good. But then the hard work is trying to stop the degradation of the habitat. And for laurel dace, it's vegetable crops, mostly tomato fields up on Walden Ridge on the plateau. They lay plastics along the rows of vegetable crops, so you have an impervious surface on half of your field. So when it rains an inch of rain, 2 inches of rainwater run down those rows, grab all that bare dirt and the herbicides and pesticides, and they go into these mountain streams that are supposed to be rocky, and now they're becoming filled with dirt. That's a real problem. And then what do we do about that? So we're trying to work with NRCS, let me get this right, which is the Natural Resources Conservation Service, basically a government agency that helps farmers keep soil in their fields. It helps the farmers, it helps the aquatic environment. And we did get a small grant to try to get farmers to plant grass in between those vegetable crop rows to hold the soil in place. And we bought a piece of equipment called a crimper that will knock down that grass so it doesn't compete with the vegetables, but it still maintains and holds the soil and improves the soil health for the farmer. So it's a win-win. And we're working on a larger grant now for the Sequatchie Valley and for all where laurel dace are found up there on the ridge to try to expand this program to plant pollinator fields to hold in the soil and just come up with more innovative ways to keep the soil on the farmlands and not in the streams. And that's the hard work, building trust with local landowners. We have the advantage at the aquarium because we're not a government agency, but we're working both with the landowners and with the government agencies. We're making small inroads, but people have been doing this for generations the way they do it, and it's just hard to get them to change.
And even when you do get them to change, making that change does not yield instant results. You don't create a laurel dace boom in a season or two.
And that is correct. It's going to take, even if we stopped most of the sediments coming into these streams, it's going to take several years of high water events to naturally flush those sediments out of there. But the important thing is we've got these two streams. One, there's not a lot of crops in it. It's mostly timber, and we're working with the timber company, and they're being great partners. But the other stronghold, there's a lot of farming there, and we really need to try to get a hold of that, as well as where they've disappeared. In order to propagate and restock fishes, we need habitat that they're going to exist in. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time and money.
Where can people go online for more information to help? And if they come to the aquarium, where might they be able to check out more about all this?
You can go to the Tennessee Aquarium webpage. And if you want to help, there's a donate button there. We actually have some laurel dace on display in the River Journey building. And so you can actually see these gorgeous fishes. They have bright yellow fins, red lips, golden stripe with black on either side, and bright yellow fins and red bellies. They're gorgeous fish. And the blue shiners we study, they're equally gorgeous. Bright blue sides, yellow fins. The Cahaba shiner is just a boring little straw-colored minnow, but I described it way back in 1989. So I have a special place in my heart for that little critter.
All right. Bernie, thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.